Most loving Heavenly Father, I pray, just as we just sung, that you would till the soil of our hearts ready to receive the food of your word. Fill us now with your Holy Spirit. Help us to open our hearts, to be open to what you want to do this morning. And would you bring to fruit your plans and purposes in our lives, that we may know more about your great love for us, and that out of that love we would be compelled to share that love with one another and with the world, that each one of us may grow to become more and more like Jesus. Fill us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're starting a new series, and we're basing the series on Jesus, Mean and Wild. It's a book that Stephen discovered, Stephen the vicar here, by Mark Gully. And its kind of catchphrase for the book, if you like, is that God loves you and he has a difficult plan for your life. God loves you, but he has a difficult plan for your life. And again, it just says here, the unexpected love of an untamable God. And he looks at different aspects of Mark's gospel and looks at how at some of the difficult sayings that Jesus challenges his hearers with, some of the difficult events, and looks at how God does have a difficult plan for our lives, and that he sends us, and he has an amazing commission for us to go out and change the world. So I hope you're sitting on the edge of your seats this morning and praying maybe that brave prayer that God would speak to your heart this morning about what plans he does have in store for you. And we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning. And so in his first chapter, the title is Difficult Love. And it's based on that passage we had read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 9 to 13, which ends with the baptism of Jesus. And Mark Gully calls this a difficult love because no sooner has God, if you look at verse 11, bestowed and declared his love for his son Jesus, then in verse 12, he's immediately sending him out into the wilderness for testing. You know, if you love someone, why would you send someone into a wilderness to be tested, to go through a difficult and a hard time? That's why it's a difficult love. And so to unpack that a little bit more this morning, we're going to look at two things. One, how indescribable God's love is. And our second point, we'll be looking at how uncontainable God's love. Firstly, how indescribable God's love is, and then how uncontainable God's love is. So let's think then about this difficult love. Let's think about God's indescribable love. I want to challenge you. How much do you think God loves you? How much? Is it a little bit? Is it a lot? Maybe you feel or sense that love in different ways, I'm sure we all do. Perhaps when we've done something that we know pleases our Heavenly Father, maybe we feel love then. Of course, the theologians would be quick to point out to us that God's love is unconditional, and that's true and good. But how often do we really unpack that word, unconditional love, and fathom the deep richness of that meaning, of how much God loves us? And if you don't know if God loves you this morning, I would love to pray with you after the service. So please, if that's you this morning, don't go home without receiving God's love. Come and speak to me. I would love to pray with you. We can do that in confidence, and just come and speak to me at the end. How much does God love you? Naomi and I celebrated our 15-year wedding anniversary on Wednesday. And I'm surprised that she could have been married to me for more than 15 minutes, let alone 15 years. But We used to joke when we were first courting, and I used to say to her, "Will you still love me when I'm old and wrinkly?" And in my more soppy moments still to this day, I'll still ask her, "Do you still really love me?" And her reply is, "I'll always love you." I love to hear those words. "I'll always love you." Look at verse 11. A voice came from heaven. "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." And I'm sure Jesus delighted in hearing those words from his heavenly Father. Have you ever tried placing your name in that place? Have you heard your heavenly Father speak over you these words? "You are Ben, my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." "You are Leslie, my daughter, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." "You are Julia, you are my daughter, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Encourage you in your prayer life this week, maybe just start the day like that, hearing God speak his love over you with that passage. I wonder, when was the last time you heard God speak those words over you? Well, this morning is a good opportunity to receive that love afresh again. And the great news is that we can hear that good news. When we're in Christ, we can hear God speak those words over us. "You are my child, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." And what I want to do as we unpack this indescribable love of God, to get behind the intensity of that word love that God has for us, that depth of feeling and passion and motivation and compelling love that he has for you. In Ephesians 3, 17 and 18, Paul prays that we, being rooted and established in love, might have power to grasp. We need God's power to try and grasp how much God loves us. By his Spirit, we need his Spirit to reveal to us how much God loves us. And he goes on to say, how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. Who remembers that old tune? "Jesus' love is very wonderful. It's so high, you can't get over it. It's so wide, you can't get around it. And it's so deep that you can't get under it." Well, they don't write them like that anymore, do they? It's probably just as well. But it's true, isn't it? It's amazing how vast God's love is for us. And we can't fathom it. It is indescribable. We can begin to explore it, yes, of course we can, and get glimpses of that intensity of God's love for us, but we'll never fully understand it. David writes in Psalm 139, verses 7 and 10. He says, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will hold me fast." God's love is so amazing, so vast, you can't get over it, under it, or around it. It's consistent and constant from dusk till dawn. He loves you. And if you have faith in Christ, nothing can separate you from his love. Well-known passage to many of us, I'm sure, Romans 8, 38 and 39. Paul says again, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in the whole of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." So this morning I want you to go home and never, ever, 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 ever underestimate how much God loves you. And if you ever doubt it, just remind yourself, God's love for you is so intense that he gave his one and only Son to die on the cross, to pay the price for sin, so that we may not perish, but be forgiven and have eternal life. So great is the love that the Father has lavished on us. It's indescribable, and it's amazing. So this leads us to the next part, that whilst God's love is amazing and indescribable, it's also uncontainable. So powerful is God's love, so compelling is his love for us, that he couldn't stand by and watch ourselves destroy ourselves. You imagine the following, like keep out signs. You imagine God in heaven and the earth putting up these keep out signs, if you like. This broken, dark world with the keep out sign of pain and suffering, of hatred. Keep out with its sickness and war and anger, malice, disease, betrayal and death. In spite of all these keep out signs, God ignores every single one of those signs because his love for us is so compelling. And he does step into this world. His love for us compelled him and drove us to come into this world so that we might be saved. And this is what Mark Garley draws on in verse 12 of Mark's Gospel here, chapter 1. At once, it says, the Spirit sends Jesus into the desert. So in verse 11, God has confirmed that amazing love that I've just been trying to describe to you upon Jesus. And then, like that, Jesus is sent out into the desert in verse 12. Immediately, Jesus is sent out into the wilderness. God's love for the world compelled him to step into the world to rescue those who need saving. And in his book, Mark Garley has this image of this being a bit like firefighters, where firefighters will go into a fire to rescue those who cannot help themselves. And the image here is of God as a firefighter stepping down into the world to rescue those from the fire who cannot save themselves. Which of course is all of us. None of us can save ourselves. We are all in that fire, if you like. And God takes that risk, doesn't he? He steps down into that world to rescue us because he loves us. And this risk, if you like, is, like, when I mean risk, that's a human way of looking at it. But if you look at Jesus' life from a kind of human perspective, the risks he takes to rescue us are incredible. Think about the Christmas story and his vulnerability as a baby. Fraught with danger, Herod killing off the baby boys in the village. The escape to Egypt. Great risk. In this passage, as we've seen, he's driven out into the wilderness with wild animals. The angels have to attend to him. Numerous times throughout the Gospels, we hear after Jesus teaching about the kingdom, the crowds trying to kill him, some of them trying to push him off a cliff, others trying to throw stones at him. Life, his life, in great risk. You know, from the stable to the cross, Jesus' life was about taking risk. A risk to show and demonstrate the wonders of God's love with us, with the world. Jesus ignored the keep-out signs. Jesus entered a sick and dying world to bring this wonderful news. And who did he bring it to? Not necessarily the clean-shaven and the respectable. No, he goes to the slums, to the red light districts, to the places infested with disease. He ministered and loved those lowest of the low. Those who were low both in social terms, in moral terms, in physical terms, like leprosy, outcasts from all and cast off from society. But so compelling, so uncontainable is God's love that he reaches even these guys. Those we would consider probably the furthest away from redemption as possible. Those we would consider furthest away from God. And God risks his life. And of course it does cost him that most precious thing to him, the life of his son, as eventually he comes to the cross and he dies. And we can hear the mockers, can't we, and the leaders gathered around that cross, scorning him as they said, he saved others, that he couldn't save himself. But this was the extent to which God was prepared to go. This was the suffering he was prepared to go through in order to rescue those who both undeservingly and were incapable of saving themselves. So what does that mean for us? For some of us, we've been living in that world engulfed in flames, and it's been a hard season. And maybe for you today, it's just to hear afresh that great love that God has for you, that you are his son, his daughter, his child, dearly beloved by him. With you, he is well pleased. Try and understand, try and get to the bottom, if you like, to fathom the vastness of God's love again. The intensity and the passion with which he loves you. A love that even compelled him to go to the cross for your sake. Amazing. And that we can have that love when we come to Christ. We can receive forgiveness when we turn and repent, as we saw in John's example here, John the Baptist. The people were confessing their sins and repenting. When we do that, God is gracious and loves to forgive. And he rescues us from the fire and brings us into a new, eternal, risen life with him. If you don't know that truth for yourself this morning, I would love to pray with you. For some of us, we're very familiar with that concept. We know that God loves us. We've been walking with him for many years. It's good to be reminded always of that love. But what about the magnitude of that love? And what about that risk that God took out of his compelling love to step into the world? If we've experienced that love of God in Christ in our hearts, I wonder, what risks are you willing to take to step into the flames? How far are we prepared to go? To what extent are we prepared to go and reach the lost with the love of God? That uncontainable love. The sick. The physically and morally ill. Those dangerous places. That compelling love of God in our hearts, does that drive us to go and reach those who cannot save themselves? Jesus said, those who want to be my disciples must pick up their cross and follow me. And that's why God's love is difficult. Because it requires us to pick up our cross, to step into the flames, and to reach the lost. What does that risk look like for us? Well, it might be just very simple. Salvation is a process, isn't it? It takes a long time for someone to come into a living relationship with God sometimes. It can happen quickly, but sometimes it can take a long time. But what can we do to encourage people along that journey of faith? Maybe inviting someone to an Alpha course. And if you're like me, I get a bit nervous whenever I do that. I think, oh my gosh, they're going to think I'm really weird. But maybe that's a way of getting out of your comfort zone this morning, like God did, to come into this world and take that risk and say, okay, no, I'm going to ask, brave as I might need to be. I always go with a sort of soft sell. Look, just come and try a couple of weeks and see how you get on. Just encourage you, pray for that person and take that risk, ask them along. Or as we think about our mission of the month or our other mission partners, people that are going out into the flames, if you like, to that broken world and sharing the love of God with that world. Perhaps there's a way you can support them by prayer. Or how about the refugees? As we've been thinking, the world responding to that crisis, what can we do to meet and help these guys? You know, as a church, we are thinking about that at the moment, about how we might do that in the best way possible. Please be praying about that, that we may have wisdom, that we may be able to help as many people as possible. Stepping out of our comfort zone to be able to minister and show the love of Christ to these guys as well. Now, risky as it may be, I just want to finish with this final thought. Remember that whilst this world can be a dangerous place, and there is evil and there is sickness and death, death doesn't have the last word. God's love has the last word, because Jesus rose again from the dead. And he sent his Spirit to equip us to take those risks, to step out in faith. And he will be with us every step of the way. So faithful is he. So I hope that that's challenged you this morning. I hope it's given you something to think about. It's given me a great deal to think about as well. God loves you, and he has a difficult plan for your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please fill us with your Spirit even now and remind us of that great love you have for us. And we pray for this world with so many issues that sometimes it's hard to know even where to start. But Lord, having received that salvation perhaps for ourselves, if we know that and own that today, would you encourage us to follow you, to pick up our cross and to go where you send us, to share your love with this world, with our families, with our friends, with our colleagues, as well as those beyond those boundaries that we know, those who cannot help themselves, who cannot rescue themselves, but need your gospel, your good news of salvation through Jesus, just as much as we do. And so would you motivate us and strengthen us to step out and share your amazing love with this world, to declare that your love has the last word. And would you encourage us to take risks, knowing that you are with us by the power of your Spirit. Just as the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness, Lord, and was with him there, encouraging him and equipping him, fill us that we may do the same, to go into the world and share the great news of God's love and salvation through Jesus. We ask in his name. Amen.